Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine, but also of the Rokan Show, brought to us by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care, joins us right now. And a couple of rather important developments over the weekend concerning the coronavirus. First of all, Illinois is starting to see a bit of a tick back up. We talked about this last week. We like to get in touch every week and talk about this. I think the real question that people have, and I know this is a conversation amongst a lot of families and people who are listening right now, the cases are up, but everybody's starting to know somebody who's had it and had a fairly, if you know people who've had it, you probably know more people who had a fairly easy ride with it than you know, some of the horror stories that we hear. And I wonder if that takes people's eye off the ball, because it does affect everybody so differently. We really don't understand what the mechanism is that well as to why some people get super sick with it while others don't.
That's a big concern, and we shouldn't get lax with this, and we should just get comfortable with the masks, the distance, the hand washing, a comfortable habit, not unduly worry, but definitely not take it lightly, because we see some people, even young people, get just surprisingly seriously ill.
Yeah. And that now, I would say, and just in my little world, I've known a number of people who have had it. And again, most people have gotten through it. But the older the person is, the worse the story is about what their symptoms were. That is what I have found. And that seems to be the mechanism. There seems to be a mechanism here related to that. Is science looking at that?
Definitely looking at it, and definitely looking at the strength of people's immune system. But also, even young people, we see some affected with blood clots. Blood clots are often in small vessels, but sometimes blood clots to the lung, blood clots to the brain, and causing strokes. So we're seeing blood clotting, we're seeing unusual physical things show up, mm-hmm. but that's why none of us are really taking it too lightly.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, really. All right, okay, let's talk about vaccines here. Northwestern is part of this national trial. I think you guys are looking for 5,000 volunteers for this. People can go on the website, can go on Northwestern's website and find that, or just Google it, and there's an application. What is that going to look like? Do we know? Do you know when it's going to start? And do people go get tested? Who's eligible?
Anybody 18 to age 65, and we need a wide variety, especially from underrepresented communities. And so we want to have this trial in as diverse a population as possible. So please sign up. It's getting underway quickly, within days to weeks, and will continue for the months ahead. So it's a worldwide trial, and this is one of several vaccines that are underway. Mm-hmm. And people are signing up very quickly to enroll in the trial.
Yeah. And now, when you sign up for this, you don't know if you're getting the vaccine or you're getting a placebo, though.
Well, that's the risk. You'll be monitored very carefully with blood draws, but you don't know if you get the dummy or if you get the real vaccine.
Don't say dummy, because then everybody looks at me. Is there... is there a 50-50 split there between the... Or is there a different way? Because I know in some of these trials that have been where they're trying to rush it, they change that percentage of what the placebo is. Do we know in this case?
So I don't know the exact protocol for this specific trial. They can have a placebo that's smaller sometimes, as long as they manage the statistics right. But even so, people have to be willing to consent to not get the vaccine for sure.
Right. And once it starts, you go in for blood draws. I'm assuming you're getting tested before they actually give you all of this, right? And then
Correct. You
go in for blood draws on a regular basis. There's some work associated with it.
That's right. You'll be monitored to see if you get symptoms, if you get tested for COVID, or if you get antibodies, of course, just to see the arc. And they will need enough people who've been challenged with a virus. And they will also be monitoring blood to make sure that the people that did get the vaccine have an antibody response as well.
And will they tell you have an antibody response?
I, Again, the protocol in your consent will detail that.
Okay.
But at some point in the course, you'll know. I just don't know exactly when.
Yeah, this is interesting, and especially since we're doing it here, people never think about that. There are vaccine trials that go on all the time, all over the world. But there are a lot of people right now very interested in doing this. So, all right, hold on one second. Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine is going to be with us. Your phone calls at 312-981-7200 if you have any for the doctor concerning this or other issues, because people are still getting sick and not quite sure what to do. Should they go in the hospital? Should they not go in the hospital? Well, how should they handle this? So if you've got thoughts or questions on that, 312-981-7200. Mary Vandeveld has the traffic and the weather. Dr. Jim Adams is with us from Northwestern Medicine. Relentless in their pursuit, as they like to say. And the doctor, before we get to the phones at 312-981-7200, one of the other things we've just been talking about, obviously there's hope about a vaccine. There's greater acknowledgement now, especially when you live in, you know, major metropolitan areas, suburb city, even the exurbs. People are starting to know people who've been through this and know people who've had fairly easy rides with it, and then people who've had, you know, not so easy rides with it. And we're talking about complacency. One of the other issues that we're seeing in the news a lot, or one of the other dynamics in this, is that there is a better understanding of treatment. A month ago, we're even treating better than we were a month ago, let alone 4 or 5 months ago. And that also can lead people to think, well, okay, that's all right. If I get it, they can treat me. Is that a foolish thing to think?
Yes, it's foolish. The treatments are coming into an early focus, but by no means anywhere near where they're going to need to be. And every month, new information is coming out. So I would just want to not get it until the treatments are a lot better than they are today. And by the fall, we're going to have much better view into some of the clinical treatment trials that are underway.
You think we're more likely to get a treatment than a vaccine first?
I don't know. I do know that we will continually improve. Next data for some of the trials will come out August, September, mm-hmm. and then again in the fall. So the treatments will continue to improve no matter what, which is why it's really good to hold off on getting the virus right now.
Right.
The vaccine will come in next spring, most likely, if we're very, very lucky.
But earlier in the day, we were talking to Stacey Davis Gates from the Chicago Teachers Union about the rally they had. They want kids to all start at home this year as opposed to starting schools. And then conversely, in Hinsdale today, there was a rally going the other way with parents and teachers saying they want the kids back in school. Were you having, if you had a young child, I don't know if you do, but if you had a young child, would you want them to go to school or not to go to school?
Oh, boy. I know people on both sides of that equation. I know that teachers are scared for their personal safety, but the parents that I know all really want their kids to not lose the school and not lose the academic progression. And making sure that children academically progress is essential, and we've got to figure out a way to do that safely.
Yeah, Nancy, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, I have a question about the lung blood clot that can occur with COVID. Is this something that resolves on its own, or does it need further medical attention?
So the nice thing about the body is the body does have a balance of clotting and dissolving the clots. And so if it's small, the body will take care of itself and it'll be fine. However, if it's large, the body needs some anticoagulations so that more clots don't form. But with COVID, the clotting, it can be so intense that it's surprising. So if a person's feeling bad, they'd have to get medical attention. But if it's not otherwise detected, the body has its own mechanism to cure it.
I don't know if that helps or not, but that...
It does. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you. seemed stunned by the answer, which I understand. This is all stunning, doctor. I mean, you think 6 months ago, if we were having this conversation, we were having this conversation that in 7 months we were going to be talking about all of these things, and this would be the dominant conversation everywhere in the United States. It just it's just startling to think about what a short period of time this really is, and how little we knew then, how much more we know now, and how much more I suppose, I hope, we'll know in the next number of months, right?
The world's a dramatically different place, but the science is progressing at breathtakingly positive rate, which is really the wonderful thing to see.
Yeah. All right. So is there, as you were talking about side effects here, kidneys, I noticed in one of the stories today that that's the number of people who get this, there's a higher percentage versus other kinds of viral pneumonias that need kidney support. Is there a reason for that?
Nobody knows the reason, but it's definitely seen and known to be true. Unusually high numbers of people who were admitted to hospital, admitted to the intensive care unit, had problems with the kidneys. And also, people that feel perfectly fine and recovered also can have problems with their heart, too. So we're seeing the kidneys and the heart affected by the virus, affected by the inflammation, and people may not even know it.
Yeah. And until it's, I know of a patient actually who had that. When I was reading that this morning, I thought, my, that's exactly what happened. He felt totally fine. He got over it. Well, not totally fine, but he started to get over it, started to get his strength back, and then, boom, next thing you know, kidney failure. And for what? Go ahead.
And if you do have COVID, your doctor can easily, just through a blood test, check kidney function and will. So this is why, even if you have a mild course, you should check in with your doctor, and they'll do the right thing.
Okay. And yesterday, now there's been a lot of politics around this in the last 24 hours, but Dr. Birx was on CNN and said that we're entering a new phase of this pandemic. What did you understand her to mean when she said that?
So the rate of spread across the country is not contained. We know that. But that my understanding was that degree of spread, the degree of intensity of spread, is that phase she's talking about. However, that doesn't change the fact that we can remain safe individually and collectively if we follow the guidelines that have been said so many times. But we really need to pay attention to this because it is so widespread across the United States.
In terms of hospital beds available, Illinois is starting to see more cases. You're getting more cases, and the positivity rate is going up in Cook County, not Chicago, Cook County, like the surrounding part of Cook County that's not Chicago versus Chicago, and also in the Collier counties around that. What do you hear? What do you know about hospital availability? Is there a concern? Is there anybody talking about the potential for going back and doing another McCormick Place kind of facility?
There's definitely no need for that. The hospitals have a lot of capacity, a lot of ability to absorb. There's no worries whatsoever with the hospitals. What we're seeing right now is a lot of younger people getting infected, where in the early phase, it was a lot of older people, especially the nursing homes, and very high rates of hospitalization then. Now the rates of hospitalization are far less. Lots and lots of hospital capacity. That's not the concern. The concern is really the individual's health and long-term well-being.
Okay, and right before we let you go, if people do get this, especially younger people get this, and they'll know they have it, or they'll go get tested for it and know they have it, and they start to get symptomatic and have a mild to moderate case of it, what's the best course of care?
Honestly, it's going to be the rest and take care of themselves, and their body will recover. The primary doctor may check some blood tests along the way, and the person should monitor at home their home oxygen, their pulse. If the pulse is up or if the oxygen is low, they need to come to the emergency. But otherwise, if they will get through it if they take care of themselves. Otherwise, they'll have to come into the hospital if their oxygen is low or if the pulse is high.
You also hear people talking about going through this, and one of the reasons they ended up in a hospital is because they got dehydrated. They weren't eating. They didn't have the energy to eat or to drink. That's also an issue.
People lose their taste their taste and their smell, and they don't get hungry. So people are going to have to really make an intentional effort to keep the nutrition up and keep the hydration up. As with any illness, the need for hydration goes up, but especially if you lose your sense of smell, then you really don't feel like taking anything in. So that you have to make a special effort in that regard.
Yeah, that's really interesting because this obviously, you know, virus has been around a long time. People get sick with the flu during the flu season. This is just just got that added twist of really knocking people out. Even younger people, you know, it's very hard for them to, if they get a mild to moderate case or a moderate case, that's still going to stay at home. But what I'm hearing reported, at least anecdotally, is that, yeah, they don't want to get out of bed. They don't want to do anything for, you know, 48, 72 hours, whatever it is, and then the chills overnight. It's really interesting how consistent that pattern is of symptoms. So at least we know what we're dealing with there.
It's true.
All right. Doctor, thank you very much, as always. Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine. Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure.